This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris Banky. I'll be your host today. I'm here with Bobby and Becky Hobby. Hey, guys. How are you guys doing? And Hobby. Veronique Vaughn. Veronique,
hello,
how you doing?
Hello from over here. Good. Good. How
are
you doing?
So we are actually broadcasting this live as well as our regular podcast episode. So if you're joining us live, thank you for that. You definitely want to hop over onto the Google or Apple platforms for podcasting and subscribe so that you can hear future episodes. We're not necessarily going to shoot every single episode live. So keep that in mind. But we wanted to go live today and to talk about this pressing subject that all of you and we are facing right now, which is this global pandemic, the coronavirus, this COVID-19 virus that's out there. And we wanted to just come at it from the standpoint of the truth, how we're all dealing with it. We know that many of you are struggling just with the effects of the measures that have been put into place to protect us all. And what does that really mean for you in your day-to-day life? And then we really wanted to talk about what is God's answer to that? How should we embrace hope during difficult times and realize that, you know what, we're all facing this right now, but the reality is that all of us, if you've been alive for more than 15 minutes, know that there are difficult times that you're going to face. And this is a difficult time that we can kind of come together and be in unison in a little bit to some degree, but it also helps us recognize and remember that there's always somebody struggling. Even in the future, as we kind of get past this, you know, as a global community, there's always somebody that's going through something difficult, and it's important that we keep that in context. So I just thought we could spend today and kind of talk through some of the issues that we're seeing, some of the positive things that we're seeing, and talk about the context of how do we relate to this situation that we're in and make the best of it, and how is God moving in ways that are not necessarily super obvious or ways that might not have been expected. So I guess the first thing is, what are you guys seeing as we're kind of approaching this in the, you know, the third week of March?
Before we do that, would it be okay? I just popped on to Facebook Live because we are live streaming it. I started a watch party. And I just would encourage you guys to start a watch party just like I did. I've got Matt McLone, I've got Michelle Mejia, and Liza on mine right now. So hi, guys. I'm waving at them. But I think it would be really cool if you guys can let us know if you have any questions that you'd like us to answer. We're going to try to answer as many as we can, but let's interact today since we're going live.
Might as well.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. So anyway, Chris, say it again.
Yes. I was just asking, like, to start off with, you know, how are you guys, like, what are you guys feeling? What are you seeing? How are your families doing in the situation? Like,
okay, how about I start? So my parents were on a transatlantic cruise, and then this broke out. And so they were on the cruise. They were isolated in their rooms. They ended up finding out that they had several people who ended up testing positive. And here they are in a different country, and they're circling in this ship, and they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do? They could not communicate with us. You know, it was only through a couple of areas, and so it was limited. And so we were like, what are you guys doing? What's happening? And they said this interesting thing. They got to France, and the French officials were like, I'm not sure we're going to let you on, you know, to our soil. And we don't want to test you because we don't want to quarantine you. And They said that the whole time that they were in France, they were treated as if they were just these evil people.
Shame.
Like it was so.
Like they purposely were the carriers of the virus coming to France.
Yes, and they were coming to infect the rest of the country, and they said it wasn't until the American diplomats showed up and the American team showed up. And they were embraced. They were met with smiles. They were met with, we're in this together. We're here for you. What do you need? In fact, they weren't even given food for over 18 hours in the current situation in America. When the Americans stepped in, they brought them food. Wow. They Chick-fil-A donated food to them.
Wow.
And we're like, we've got your bags. I mean, so in
so
that
did they
case,
turn around and come all the way back to the
no,
US?
No, they had to get dock in France, and then they were put on a they had to put on all this stuff. They had to be put into a bus, then they were put straight from the bus straight to the plane. And then they were had a flight to, and it was 233 Americans, and they had a flight straight into Atlanta. And they said it was so good to know that there were people, they were feeling so weird and so bad.
Yeah.
And it was so good for them to have smiles,
yeah,
to be embraced, to have like, here's water, here's Chick-fil-A, we love you guys. And they just said it was such an amazing eye-opener to them of how loving Americans really are.
Wow.
And how they were like, we're in this together.
Wow, that's such an incredible,
yeah,
picture of two different ways of responding to something horrible.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
and it's not that the way that they were met in France, it's not like that's actually unreasonable, because there's so many unknowns and there's so much fear and it's scary, right? It's super scary. So it's not that it's like, oh, how could they? I mean, it's reasonable. It's just not beneficial, right?
Right.
So it's just the difference in those two responses says so much about how we as like a human race face difficult things.
Yeah.
And you know, there always are,
yeah,
difficult,
oh, yeah,
things.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
amazing.
The reality that's out there is this is hitting all of us.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one that isn't going to have some sort of touch with this.
Yeah.
You know, that it touches everybody. And yet, we all have a choice of how we will respond. But I think the important thing, too, is, you know, we have that choice of how we are going to respond. And
yeah,
Veronique, your family is in South Africa. What have you heard there?
Yeah, the amazing thing, over all the years, we are the opposite seasons of them.
Right.
So everything opposite, they're going to bed when we're waking up. So every single time I call them, I'm like, hey, I'm just calling to say goodnight. I mean, good morning. It's always the opposite, right? And I'm always very aware of that. And yet now we have this one thing in common. They're dealing with the exact same virus that we are. And it was kind of surreal. Chatting with them the other day, they're all good. I mean, I think Thursday they go into lockdown and that's it. They stay in their home for 12 or 21 days. I don't quite remember, but
wow,
they have just been so blessed by, my parents didn't say this. This is what I'm picking up on Facebook from across my South African friends, that they've just been so blessed by Cyril Ramaphosa's address to the nation and his call for prayer. And it's just, they're realizing we got to do this. We got to get inside. We got to stay inside and we got to get through this, you know?
Yeah.
But it is crazy to me that they're going through the exact same thing that we are right now. And they're on the other side of the earth.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Wow.
It's amazing how something like this can bring people together in this kind of bizarre way. So how are you guys, I mean, we're all kind of, I mean, in different parts of the world, we're at different, you know, periods of time we've been in the middle of this, right? But to some degree, everyone in the whole world is now trying to figure out how to settle into this new reality of what we're going to have to be dealing with for the next several weeks or months. So like, how are you guys settling in to this in your day-to-day life?
Yeah, I think the change is causing me to see a couple things. On a positive note, I guess, how much maybe I was in a rut, how much I was doing things just because I was doing them. And so when something like this happens, you do things that are necessary a lot more than things that are just, you know, I do those because I do those. Now I'm like, my steps seem to be more calculated. They seem to be more like, okay, I want to make a difference. I want to be, is my region being affected? How can I help? You know, it's just reiterated to me a sense of purpose and calling to redeem the time, all those scriptures that have been there all my life. But I sense, I think I pass over. And in communicating with people, I think too, just the care and concern for people on a daily basis. How are you doing? How are you feeling? Yeah. Do you need anything? You know, just all of a sudden that kind of stuff becomes more real in terms of relationships. And so, yeah, I think for me, it's just kind of made things a lot more real. It's made them more tangible. And then the way that I look out for Becky and my household, it's like, okay, so that's more real too. Mm-hmm. Do we have what we need? And so, yeah, I think it's just caused me to be a bit more alert and to use my time wisely.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess as church leaders, how do you see this kind of time of uncertainty? Like, how are you settling into that? Because that's another role that you guys have.
Yeah, I think immediately we went to, okay, Lord, you have spoken to us, and we know that in our logs, because we journal and we log the prophetic words that we're given, and those words are given through our leadership roundtable times. They're given through our Northwest prophetic region roundtables, and then just in our times with the Lord, where we chat with him on those types of things. And so what we did is immediately we went back through and we said, okay, where did you speak to us on this? What are those things that maybe we interpreted one way and yet now there's more understanding to now? And so we started to find some of those golden nuggets and we started to extract those out. And much of them were really around how we behave, how we position ourselves, what our role and what our purpose is in the midst of storms. And so, you know, this is a storm, and it's a global storm, and God has given us his word of here's how to go through the storm. And it's to draw close to him. It's to connect with him. It's to in all of these things. And so what we did is we then looked at those, we took those, and we said, we're going to mobilize on this. And we created, and in fact, you know, many of our tribe today are going to receive calls, or later this week we'll receive calls from our net leaders. And we are, we want no one missed who's a part of our tribe. And we're connecting with those and we're finding out how do we go into this team role to continue to advance the kingdom, to advance the gospel in this time and season. Yeah. But you know, I'll tell you this too, which is kind of funny. I was talking to Michelle because Michelle's comes from a background like me where she had a dad in the military. And, you know, I was thinking back like, why does this feel so familiar? And when I lived on military bases, camps, or forts, much of what, you know, is everyday life there is somewhat similar to what we're experiencing now.
Oh, no way.
And so when people are like, oh, the National Guard's being called in, or oh, this is happening, and I'm like, I had military around me all the time. I walked by, you know, different things that the military had set up. There's different, you know, you always had an ID when you went somewhere. You had a base that was locked down because of security reasons all the time. So for me, I was like, this is like old hat. It's familiar. I'm so used to this. And so, you know, I know, though, in that I have to remind myself, many people haven't lived like that. It's so unfamiliar to them. And so it's important for us to take a pause moment and really ask, how are you feeling? Do that check-in. Remember, emotionally healthy. Right. Doing the check-in. How are you doing? How are you feeling? What are you thinking right now? What's God speaking to you? And allow people to have that moment where they ask themselves and ask God, God, how am I doing? Am I fully aware of what I'm feeling? And am I embracing that feeling and giving it back to you and talking to you about it?
Yeah, that's so good. It's so good. I think that right now one of the problems that we are facing just collectively is the reality that this just this whole situation is out of our control. So we have this measure of control in our lives, and that a lot of that's being eroded away. And so we have this feeling that, uh-oh, things are out of control, and that stimulates fear. And then the other thing that ties into that is the thing that we're fighting is invisible. So, and then on top of that, you know, there's this reality that you can pass it around when you don't have any symptoms. So it's just this very, very unquantitative, unmeasurable thing that we are now afraid of. And when that happens, it kind of creates a scenario inside of us where we start to experience fear, and the enemy jumps on that, I believe, and uses that to basically foster to foster that fear. And because the enemy that we're fighting against is not something that's tangible and that you can see, you don't get to see the little viruses floating around, then he kind of just has a heyday with that if we don't purposefully put that in check ahead of time. So we end up walking around with these unreasonable fears that are founded in nothing. I mean, it's the reality is that, you know, we're in this building and there's, you know, a few cases in Deschutes County, and you know, the chances that there are viruses flying around all over are almost zero. Now, we should be very vigilant and pay attention to it and assume and take all the measures. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't care, but statistically, like, but I find myself thinking about everything I'm doing, yeah, which isn't necessarily bad. But if you let that control you, then the enemy has a foothold that he can then use to exploit the weaknesses that you have through that fear. And pretty soon you're just living in fear. And we're told to not live in fear. So I guess my question to you guys would be is, hey, there's some things that are happening right now that should cause us to be very aware. But how do we do that and pay attention and take things seriously and be supportive of people and not allow the enemy to have a foothold with fear? How do you do that? I'd love to hear what you guys think about that.
I would love to hear what you're doing, Veronique, because you have kids. Yes. And you're a homeschool mom already. And but here are your children who have never experienced something like this. They're, you know, and they're like just coming into this going, what's going on?
Yeah, how do I even interpret this?
Right. Well, interesting that you say that. There was one day that I woke up and I felt the heaviness of the situation a little bit more than I generally do. But I didn't take stock. Okay, that was my first mistake. I didn't stop and take stock of what it was that I was feeling. I got up, got dressed, carried on with my morning, got the kids up. And before I knew it, I felt like I was nitpicking at everything they were doing. And I remember my son kind of, I said something to him and the look on his face was just, he just felt so defeated. What it felt to me was, oh, come on, Veronique, you just did that. Like, that is not okay. And I removed myself from the situation and I took stock for a moment and I said, okay, what is it that I'm feeling? What is going on? And I recognized my level of anxiety was so much higher And I was feeling so much more out of control on the inside. And I was not putting my trust in the Lord. And I was taking it out on my poor kids who were just trying to get through this, just the same as I was. They were so tired of hearing the word COVID-19 or coronavirus. They were like, you say that one more time. Anyway, and I had to repent. I had to stop, take check. And then I went back to my kids and I said to them, look, I allowed my emotions to be more heightened than they should have been. And actually what I did with my words when I did that was against you. And we as a family can't afford that. So I'm really sorry. Like, let's just, I apologize. Will you please forgive me? Can we start over? And we did. We hit the reset button and carried on. And I've made a point every morning to, when I wake up, I just take a moment and I, what is my heart feeling? How am I doing? What information did I allow myself to go to bed with last night that I may have woken up with this morning that may skew my reality? And then I purposefully start putting God back in his place in my world. I purposefully start worshiping him as King, as Creator, as Lord above all, as the beginning and the end. As once I have put him back in his place, I am finding my feet standing a little more secure in who I am in him, and therefore my emotions take a little bit more of a backseat. But I think it's really important. We've always homeschooled, which has been really awesome. Homeschooling for us, though, has always included going to places, right? A lot of people think homeschooling is, well, you just stay home and school. But it doesn't always. It's going and seeing people. It's going and doing outings. Purposeful. I always forget what they're called when you go field trips.
Field trips. I love the field trips.
You know, that's the homeschooler's like biggest tool.
That's their way out.
Field trips. And now we have to be at home. Yeah. So this is a level of homeschooling that we've never even experienced. And both my kids are very relational. My one is a homebody and can stay online talking to people. My other, tears, lots of tears. I miss my friends. I love seeing you guys, but I'm kind of sick of your faces right now. I need my friends. And I love that they have the ability to be honest about that. I really don't take it personally because I need them to have that safe space. So I just want to say, you know, if your kids are being real about stuff, let them be real. Let it all come out and then try and facilitate maybe a phone call, FaceTime with some friends of theirs. If they're younger, they're older, they can do it themselves, but encourage them to do it. Right now, we have to stay home in order to help people get better, in order to stop the spread of whatever this is. And so we need to kind of honor the system. In that, just have a whole lot more grace. Every single morning we ask God, can we please have more grace for abundant kingdom living today? And it was easy to say that when I knew the kids were going off to campus or were going off to do their business. But now it's at home within the four walls. And we're saying, Jesus, we need so much more grace. So much more grace for abundant kingdom living.
So I hear what you're saying is, if I could sum that up, it's really daily, or maybe more than once a day, purposefully deciding to approach things from a standpoint of hope and not of fear.
Yes, absolutely.
And then also purposely ahead of time deciding I'm going to have grace when that doesn't work well, because when your systems and your routines are disrupted and, you know, restrictions are put on, that's like the best time for things to go sideways. So what I really hear from you is it takes both sides. So,
and it's okay. This is something that we're working on. We have not mastered this by any means, but we are working on it, which means that we're winning already, right? In the middle of a heated discussion, if either of us recognize, this is not where we're wanting to go, that we can stop, we can put the brakes on right there and then and say, hey, let's take a moment. This is not how I want to treat you. I am overwhelmed. I am feeling such and such and such, and I don't want to take this out on you. And then hitting the reset button and giving each other some space. That's also just been really helpful, seeing as we're all in the same four walls, you know?
That's really good. What about you guys? How are you, as you're settling into this, how are you like adjusting?
Yeah, I recently had a conversation with a guy who we're thinking about this year, what things to say to entrepreneurs, what things, it was before the COVID-19, you know, really broke out, what things to say to entrepreneurs who are maybe thinking of going remote. And that was a conversation that we had months ago. And so now we're in the middle of it and everybody's remote. And we were thinking, well, maybe that's a conversation we could have at Hub Nation. You know, we do this conference for the marketplace and that's probably what we'll do. We'll do a session on remote.
Or the whole world will go remote.
Yeah. And we had no idea. And so, but it was a conversation that we thought, man, there's some juice on this. Yeah. We need to make this a part. And so we're sort of, as Becky said earlier, revisiting those things that God spoke to us and go, God, you teed it up. You set us up. We have no idea because we see in part sometimes how to walk this thing out or really why you're talking to us about these things or where our dreams are or whatever. But some of the positive things that I'm looking for out of this is what has God spoken to us? It's so easy right now to want to go get a word. And that's awesome. I mean, there may be some new things that God's saying right now, and I'm sure there is. But I'm also, I want to look back through our annals, through our logs, through our journals that Becky and I have, we write on a weekly basis and go, wait a minute, I know that God teed us up for this. I just know how he works. I know how relationship works. So it's not this panic, let's run to God. You know, all we can do now is pray. Really? Why weren't you living a lifestyle of that before this broke out? So just to prove that the prophetic's not just for moments of trauma, we were like, let's go back and be honest. If he didn't share anything with us, then awesome. But if he did, then is there a chance that we didn't connect the dots until now? And so for me, when we look back, that became a major encouragement to both Becky and me. We are not without direction. We are not without the voice of the Lord. Look, hon, for our house, God's speaking to us. And I can't tell you that if the Bible says that man doesn't live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth, that word proceeds now, daily. What has he been speaking to you? And that's more important to us than what we put into our mouth. And so I'm more thankful now than ever before, guys, about the voice of God and about him speaking to us and about us valuing it enough to write it down, especially on those things that we think, okay, this came by either supernatural means, out of the blue, not normal. I feel there's juice on it.
I just want to also share some comments that are coming in. And Michelle, good to see you on here. Same with Linda. Hi, Linda. And Dave Parsons. Hi from Eugene. Tiffany Libby. Mary Musk is on here. And she was saying that she's also a homeschool mom. And she's saying, I find having to loose strife occasionally from the kiddos and then asking for grace myself is necessary. And then she said also that viruses are unseen by us. Faith is a stand we take to believe that what God is saying is true and is true for us. Taking captive every thought is a choice to dismiss negative thoughts or non-life-giving thoughts and focus on what God is saying over us. And I think that goes with what you're saying too. You know, Bobby, you're right on. We're focusing, what is our focus on? But in the same time that we're focusing, we're not negating that there's loss right now.
Right.
That, you know, there are many people had great plans for the summer. They had great plans for this spring.
Right.
Spring break.
Yeah.
And that's all now changed. And it's continuing to change. And so embracing what is happening without just stuffing it or holding on, you know, like little kids, you know, where we're going to hold our breath and we're going to tense up our muscles and we'll just bear through this time. That's not what God, that's not emotionally healthy. That's not what God's asking us to do. But giving each other the space, you know, kids, each one of us, we're all coming into this place of, all right, what we thought was going to happen, the plans we made are now changing. And for some, change is easy. But for others, change is really, really difficult. And when you're finding out, I can't do what I wanted to do, or I can't do what I had planned to do, something else is controlling my choice and my plan right now from happening. You have to be able to allow yourself the freedom to feel the loss that you may be feeling right now. And but in that, it's not just going, woe is me. It's take that loss before the Lord, embrace it, feel it, talk to God about it, and find out what that word that Bobby's saying, what is that now word that he has for you in it, and giving him that loss. God, I give you the loss of this idea of what was going to happen, the plan I made. And God, in this moment, I'm giving it to you. I feel this sadness. I feel this anger. I feel this resentment. I feel this whatever, fill in the blank of whatever that is. What do you have to say to me in this? What's your thought? What's your emotion? And what's your feeling in that? And just releasing that to the Lord. And it's sometimes it's not a one-time thing, because as time goes on, there's other things that, you know, you may need to feel and may need to go to the Lord on. But in that, don't stop just there. Go into, okay, God, what are you saying to me now? You guide my steps. You knew this was going to happen. And this isn't just limited to this moment. This can happen in anyone's life at any time. It's trauma. It's a change. It's a shift. It's a big thing that has altered the course of your plan and your path. And so whether you're listening to this today or watching this today, or, you know, you're listening to it or watching it at a different time, the truth is the same. Embrace, feel, take it before the Lord, and allow that conversation with him to unfold, and listen. Listen to what he has to say. Listen to what his thought is, his plan is. And do it regularly. I can never say that word right. That's why I said it like that. That's not the right way to regular. Say it. Kids, that's not the right way to say it.
Becky,
how do you say it?
Regularly.
Thank you.
It's a great point, though. I think that as a creative, it's easy for me to bump up against something that I can't control and use my creativity to find a way out.
Or to train. Figure out how to control, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I could mask it as creativity, right? And so when something's like out of my control, then especially if I'm a leader, I'm going to try to find a way to get back on the kingdom side of that.
Right,
I'm going to call it kingdom side because that's my Christianese verbiage.
Right, right.
But really, it could be on the control side of it.
Right.
And so to be told that you got to be this or that, or we're this region's going to lockdown, or that state, or this city, or whatever, and people making decisions for you isn't always like, it doesn't go easy with creatives. It doesn't go easy with builders and those types of people who like to be at the helm of things. And so sometimes we're who we are because that's God's gift to us. Sometimes we're who we are because we had to respond that way growing up. We didn't have it in our household, so we became sort of to create some constancy for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So to your point, Becky, it's so awesome that right now is not the time to control. It is not the time to create your way out of obedience. Mm-hmm. It's not the time to say, hey, I think God's got something better, and I'm going to define faith in disobedience. I mean, what do our leaders know anyway? And wow, the statistics don't back up the fear. And so I'm going to juice myself up with a few statistics to say, I don't need to obey my city officials. When you know what the Bible says about honoring and obeying your civil leaders, you could never call it faith to disobey your leaders unless it was an Acts chapter 4 moment where they flogged you and told you not to speak again in that name. And you said, like Peter and John, whom shall we obey, you or the Lord? Then in those moments, then absolutely you go with the Lord. But we're not there. We're not even close to that. And so I think it's easy just as a leader, and I'm speaking to leaders right now, if you're watching, no matter what, when you're watching this, if you want to create your way out of this right now, do what Becky said, take a pause. The brain is so beautifully brilliant in that we have the ability to get outside of ourselves for a moment and go, how am I doing? How am I feeling? And before you just try to create your way out of it, even for the sake of people you lead, feel what you need to feel right now and be honest. Do you know that out of the 150 Psalms in the Bible, 48 of them were complaints? They were honest. Why does this happen, or why is this not happening? That's because you can't have true worship without honesty. Yeah. You've got to be able to emote, and that is emotionally healthy. Yeah. And then before you make decisions about civil disobedience or things like that, that, you know, I just want to, well, it's pushing. If it ever goes there, if it ever goes red dawn on us, then what can we do? And shouldn't we obey God? And, you know, hey, listen, number one, we're not even close to that yet. Number two, if it does go there, then go Acts 4 and obey the Lord. But my first question is, that's the wrong question to be asking. Why are you asking that question? Shouldn't your first question be, what can I do to help my region? Have I gained relationship that helps me be a part of the solution instead of being a part of the problem? If now's the time that you're just gaining relationships with them, it might be a little behind the eight ball, so to speak. Maybe we should have been gaining relationships with our officials so that in this time they're looking to you for solutions. If our first response is all at any time is ever narcissism, you're standing on the wrong platform. It's super important right now that we say, Lord, I want to lean in. God, I want to look at the prophetic words that you've spoken to us about, all the things that have been coming out of your own mouth as leaders. This is that hour. Paul told Timothy, pay attention to your own teachings. Now's the time to look back. And even with what's come out of your mouth, leaders, how has God teed you up to be spectacular? There's an adjective, a new one. A spectacular in this season. Fantastic. In this season, so that you can get on the right side of this thing. We're standing on the wrong platform, guys, if we're asking questions that are built out of narcissism and when can I get a green light to go civil disobedient? That's the wrong question right now.
Yeah, I think I really like the way that you're saying that, because I think it speaks to what we've all been talking about, which is how do we approach this situation from the standpoint of it's my opportunity to thrive through this, not my opportunity to, or not, it's not a time to kind of shirk back and let fear manipulate and control me, but it's an opportunity to thrive, right? So, I mean, we have so many blessings and opportunities and technologies that even 10 years ago weren't available. Like the ability for us to even make this broadcast live and create this podcast and to have small groups with Zoom and just the ability to do some of the things that we couldn't have done 10 years ago, we need to look at that as the blessing that it is and to not let fear control us and to step into these uncertain times from a position of, well, how does God want me to thrive in this situation?
Yeah, absolutely.
How should I approach this in a way that is going to benefit my family, my community, my church, the people around me? How can I step into the situation and what should I be doing? And I think what can happen if we're not careful, if we're not purposeful about it, we'll just slip into watching the news in fear, realizing we don't have control and letting that kind of bully us around and remove our hope. And I think that, I mean, that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. And the crazy thing is, you know, we are all hurling through space on this rock, just totally out of control all the time.
No, right?
Like, we really don't have the control that we perceive we have.
Yeah.
We just don't. So things like this, we should allow that to teach us, you know, we don't have all that much control. So how can I purposely decide to take this situation and thrive in it? And so I guess what that kind of leads me to is, as we're in this thing, I'd love to hear from you guys. How do we, in a practical way, and for the people that are watching this either live right now or 5 years from now on the podcast, like, how do we apply hope to the fear or to the lack of control or to the horrible situation? Because in life, there's always a lot of difficult times. So how do we apply hope to it? I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, I just find that so exciting. Just chatting earlier, looking on social media at the positive things that have come out of this time.
Yeah, the positive,
you know,
things.
Even someone in our tribe, they went around their neighborhood and gave bottled water and wipes, I think it was, and just a little, hey, neighbor, I don't know you. I just want to get to know you. What a testimony, you know, what a sweet thing to do when everyone's trying to isolate, just handing them a little gift of seemingly insignificant something, but bam, just like that.
Right.
The astronauts are reading stories to the kids. You know, just, wow, how sweet. I've seen Redmond, one of the Redmond principals is nightly reading stories with the children on Instagram. Someone goes to the shop and they had been double billed for something, I think their TV bill, and they didn't have enough money. And everyone in line came and gave money one by one until the whole bill was paid. And I hear stories like that, like, what? How can we infuse hope? Well, keep doing what you're doing on social media.
So
keep posting the good stuff because it inspires the rest of us to pay it forward and to keep doing it, you know? Someone said to me the other day, and I know this is kind of a joke, but it's really not right now. Someone said, I love you enough that I would give you a roll of toilet paper if you asked.
Wow. I mean, that's a big deal. Friendship. That is,
you know,
a big deal.
That you are special to them if they're willing to give up a roll of toilet paper. It's kind of like the last Rolo in the, remember that advert, or was it just in South Africa? I love you. I'll give you my last Rolo.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that's it. Like, how can, not being narcissistic, how can I help those around me today? How can I make a phone call, ask, what do you need? Just, and love the people that are in your space well.
Right.
So that when they come out of it, they're not traumatized from this whole thing. They remember it as a positive thing.
And to let this period be a lesson.
Yes.
Like, this is a lifestyle that shouldn't take a global pandemic to stimulate.
Absolutely.
But now that it has, this should be a lesson that we take, you know, forward. Right?
Totally. I think that we're 10 days into it right now, and we've already learned some things that I'm not sure we're going to go back to business as usual once it's over. I'm like, man, how can we incorporate some of this stuff that we've already learned? Yeah. It's great to have something shake you and then transition, make a pivot and go, wow, I guess I was in a rut that I wasn't sure about. Listen, for instance, how to make lemonade out of lemons right now. If you've been a homeschool mom, you're a genius right now, because there's a lot of moms who are forced to be homeschool moms right now that are going, where are you? Tell me how to do this. I don't even know how to do. Who are these people? You know, just looking at their kiddos going, OMG, I'm used to being at the office and now I'm a homeschool mom. And so, I mean, I'm not telling you to monetize it, but if you wanted to, this is your opportunity to get on social media and just be a blessing to a lot of moms and dads who are all of a sudden, like it or not, homeschool parents. And so how do we be, I mean, that's just one creative way. Another conversation that I was having with a gentleman was that, so he goes, I went outside and we're all like sort of working remotely and I go to walk, you know, it's a good day outside, and let's go for a walk, family. And so we're on the sidewalk, and wow, there's all these families outside. And he goes, the one thing that the Lord spoke to him is, could it be that the Lord's going to use this to resurrect the value of parents being together with their kids, because they are for the first time, like in a constant level. And so what things don't we do? Let me say it this way. What things do we not want to recover from that we're actually learning in this time that are great?
It's that restoration of family. I think that is a positive that can come through this. So holding on to those learnings and looking at how to continue to apply those learnings as we come out of this valley of the shadow of death. You know, when I was diagnosed with cancer, I remember Donna Hoover telling me this. She said, listen, you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And there, you don't have to fear. This is it seemed in the moment, like at that point, I didn't even know if I was living. Like the doctors were like, we don't know. You know, you've had this a long time. We don't know. So the reality was high. You know, the possibility of death was high. And yet here's this beautiful leader of mine telling me truth that I needed in my heart, that I have taken with me in every situation. And it is that this is an affliction that is a momentary affliction. And I was to hold on to these, you know, certain truths through this and apply that God perspective in every step that I took through that season, that valley. And now it helps me to go into any other change, any other season to say, okay, God, this is your perspective. And I'm going to keep speaking this perspective. Talk about perspectives. Linda has shared online, and I'd love to share her perspective. Lifetime adjustments for changes and disappointment happen. I'm 72 years old, and I can't remember a time when there wasn't a time of change or readjustment.
Wow. Yeah, that's really
change
good.
Is always happening.
Yeah. I would love to, I kind of feel in my heart, you know, we are, as families, we are together more than we're used to right now. As couples, we're together more than we're used to right now. One of the things that I know is happening is relational stuff's being stirred up.
Yeah.
And there are some hard times that some of us are going through. And I just want to say, reach out and talk to someone if you are feeling emotions that you have not felt before. Because if they might be heightened, or you may just have never experienced this feeling before, I just really want to encourage you, even the people at church who you think have it all together and you don't want to bother them, call, reach out to people. We're here for you. We have to be here for each other. We want couples to thrive during this time. And we want families to feel supported during this time. During this time, when I say this, I'm not only saying this through this problem that we're experiencing in this moment of time, but through hard moments. Please, no one's going to be judging. No one's going to think any less of you. Not that they're thinking less of you to begin with, but just please reach out. Make the call. We care about the state of your heart. We care about where you are emotionally. And I want to really harp on that. I want to drive that point home, because sometimes we can do really silly things when we're super, super emotional, and we don't want anyone to be hurt in those moments. So please pick up the phone if you need to get numbers, start making calls now, prepare yourself for, hey, I could go through a bit of a dark time in the next 8 weeks, in the next 12 weeks. Who do I have to call in those moments? Who do I have to reach out to in those moments? Please make sure you've got the numbers ready, easy access, because there are people, I know your friends want to hear from you. I know your loved ones want to hear from you. I know your leaders want to hear from you to help you through the next times. So please get ready.
Yeah, thank you for that. I wanted to mention a couple things as we're wrapping up here. Patty put a comment on here. How do we encourage moms who don't homeschool to hang in there and continue to be creative with their kids? And I think it ties into what you're saying too, Veronique. And it's not just homeschooling moms. Like it's everyone that's displaced to some degree out of their normal life. And I think the main thing, as you said, is to be communicative about this, is to talk with people. And then the other thing too is that if you're feeling this, like, oh no, you know, I'm depressed, like I can't let anyone know, like that's the wrong response. Like the right response is to not feel shame from that, but to reach out and pour into the community around you and let them pour into you. Like that's the biblical model of relationship. And if we don't leverage that, then we're missing like the way that God has set this up for us. And then the other thing I think is just to kind of end on a positive note, this comment that Michelle made is creativity thrives within the confines of rules and regulations. We have access to solutions and ideas from heaven for such a time as this to think outside of the fear box for ourselves, our businesses, our families, our city and beyond. And it's just so true. It's like some of the stories that you guys were sharing are so positive and so clever and creative and innovative. And those are the things that we need to pour into, and we need to grab a hold of those things. And those are the things we should be sharing on Facebook, not the daily death statistics that go up and up, but the things that are working and the ways that God is working.
Things that bring laughter. Because laughter is really good for your body.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good medicine.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for the time today. If you've joined us online, thank you for that. We don't normally broadcast these, so we appreciate your support, and the comments were fantastic. Make sure you go over to your Apple or Google or whatever platform you're on and actually subscribe to the Eagle Mountain Radio podcast. You can also find it on YouTube as well. There's a YouTube channel, and you can also find all of the show notes and everything that goes along with this on the kingdomlearning.life website as well. So you can check that out. There's great resources there. But make sure and hit that subscribe button so that you can be alerted to future episodes. And in the future, we might decide to broadcast more of these. This was really encouraging to see your guys' comments and kind of make it participatory. So thank you for that. And until next time, you know, stay safe, wash your hands, and be encouraged and spread hope through this difficult
time. Absolutely.
Spread hope. So thank you.